This is Brahmanda Ghat. And if you had a chance to see on the altar, you know the significance of the place here. This is the place where Krishna was accused of eating dirt. And inside the mouth of Krishna, Mother Jasoda saw the whole Brahmanda inside his mouth. Brahmanda Ghat. In terms of sequence of Leela, I'll speak first about where we're going next. The Daoji temple where we just were is not the actual birthplace. I was describing the birth of Nanda, to Nanda and Jasoda, of Krishna and to Vasudeva and Rohini, the son Balaram. But the birthplace is the next place that we're going. Is also in Mahavan. The whole area that we've been in is Mahavan. When we describe that this is Mahavan, great forest, here's something that I heard from Giriraj Maharaj, who was visiting Vrindavan because he was the president of the Juhu temple when Prabhupada was establishing it. And he would regularly come to Vrindavan to make reports to Prabhupada of what was the developments in Juhu. So when he would come, he associated with one elderly Vaishnav who lived in Vrindavan since he was a young man. And in Vrindavan, so this the man said, as many as 40 years ago, so this was in the 60s, so in the 1920s, the forests of Vrindavan were so thick that you could walk from R. Krishna Balaram Mandir to Govardhan Hill and not see the light of day because the forests were so thick. That may not mean something to you if you don't know how far it is to go from the temple to Govardhan Hill, but to go by bus from the temple to Govardhan Hill, it's about an hour's ride by bus. So what to speak of walking, where you couldn't see the light of day, just like where we are now. There's just this one tree and, you know, a few trees. But it's nice and shady. Miles. Forest. And the man said that over the years, just because of the extending of the desert of Rajasthan and the eagerness of the local people to take the resources and use it for whatever they may like to use it for, forests have just disappeared. So when we say Mahavan, we don't see Mahavan. We see, you know, dust and sand and agricultural fields. But it was a huge forested area. And Mahavan was the... Mathura was the capital of Shurasen, and Mahavan was the capital of Parjanya Maharaj. Then in turn, succeeding him was Nanda Maharaj. And Nanda had accepted as his wife the daughter of another Gopa who was of Parjanya Maharaj's age. His name was Sumukha. And Sumukha's daughter was Yashoda. Yashoda means the giver of Yasha, the giver of great fame and fortune. And the understanding of Yasha, Nanda's being married to Yashoda, Nanda being of the five brothers, we use this expression, self-effulgent. It was just so evident what the exceptional qualifications of Nanda Maharaj were. And being married to Yashoda, one expected great fortune. And that great fortune was abundant from all the cowherds of Braja. They loved Nanda Maharaj. Anything was affluent and opulent and wonderful and in his king of the cowherds role, except the absence of a child. So as mentioned, they came from Nandagaon to here, Mahavan, and made this their residence. And to receive a child, they had undergone some austerity, some vrata, a dvadasi vrata. And one time during this dvadasi vrata, for some period of time, both Ananda and Yashoda were having a dream, separately, same dream. And in the dream, this most beautiful child appeared in their dream, and they fell in love with that child in their dream. And they shared, I had this dream. Really, it was the same as my dream. It's the same dream. And they were both attached to that child in their dream. Then during one Dvadasi Vrata, Lord Narayan appeared before them, not in a dream, but he appeared in a vision and said, very soon I will appear as your child. Be very patient. And shortly thereafter, Mother Yashoda became pregnant and Krishna became born. In this explanation, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, twins, Yogamaya, a female child. We hear in the Bhagavatam 10th canto primarily that a female child was born of Yashoda and the female child was changed with the male child by Vasudeva. Twins were born and the male child merged with the body of Vasudeva Krishna merged with Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, who had appeared as the son of Nanda and Yashoda. And then we heard the childhood pastimes, Putana, killing of Putana shortly after Krishna's birth, then Shakatasura, just 3 months old, and still very, very young, still not yet fully able to crawl, the Trinavarta pastime. Then came the crawling pastimes, which is where we're going to next, the Damodara Leela pastime. I'm going to speak it here because it's, at least I thought it was relatively peaceful here, nice shaded place, and each other place we've gone to we've had to move for darshan reasons and other reasons. So from here we will go to the Damodar Leela pastime in this month of Damodar. How auspicious to actually see the place where the pastime took place. The grinding mortar is still there. The twin Arjun trees aren't there because they were knocked over. But there are other trees where the twin Arjun trees were. So we'll have that experience. But again, it's not just take a picture and now you've been there. But you have to go there through your heart. And the heart gets carried by sound vibration, by the potencies Shukadev Goswami narrates of Krishna's pastimes. embedded in those pastimes are great transcendental potencies, just like we know from Shikshastakam. Nija Sarva Shaktis, in each and every one of the holy names of the Lord, the transcendental potencies, all the potencies of Krishna are invested in each and every one of Krishna's names. And so all of the potencies of these wonderful pastimes of Krishna are embedded in the Leelas. So literally, as much as Mother Jasoda and Nanda Maharaj and the cowherds could experience transcendental happiness if our hearts were pure, and if we allowed our hearts to open like a lotus and receive that message with a pure heart, we would experience the transcendental happiness of the residents of Raja. So we'll try to go there by our ears. So the Uttana pastime, Shakatasura pastime with the ceremony of Krishna's raising his back, followed Krishna's crawling. And when Krishna was crawling, just beginning to crawl, he was enjoying very much the opportunity to, with Balaram, like little children, crawl over to a sleeping calf, two sleeping calves, and Krishna grabbed one's tail, Balaram grabbed the other's tail, and they pulled. And the calves were startled, so they stood up, and Balaram and Krishna held on to the tail. And the calves, like little children, they just started running. And you've seen calves running before, kind of galloping like horses. And Krishna and Balaram were holding on to the tail thinking, wow, this is great fun. Dragged through the dust and the mud and the cow dung and of the goshal and all around the courtyard and having a great time. Going for a little ride. And the calves were unable to let shake Krishna loose and Balaram loose. And some of the gopis were enjoying the fun and some of them were in great distress. Oh, our Krishna, he may hit some rock or who knows, the cow may turn and harm Krishna. In either case, Krishna not only was enjoying, but he was enhancing the pleasure and happiness of his devotees. Because that's Krishna's life, that's Krishna's happiness, is the happiness of his devotees. So since this is the Dhamma Dharma, let me say something about the merit of any devotional service rendered anywhere during the month of Kartik. It's such an auspicious month that it's amplified 100 times. And when in Braja, during the month of Kartik, to render devotional service, it's amplified another 100 times. How fortunate we are to be here in Braja during this month of Kartik. Like we discussed at the birthplace of Srimati Radharani. What great fortune. At the same time, any offense we make is amplified another 100 times. So we should be very careful about Vaishnav Aparad in the Holy Dham during the month of Kartik, especially, anytime. But coming here is great mercy, and one should also be very, very careful about making offenses to the local devotees, to those devotees to the left and right of us. Always be very, very respectful. And try always to be in the mood of humble service. This is our best disposition. some opportunity for rendering service to the devotees that comes sought or unsought is a special opportunity for purifying our hearts here in Braja during the month of Kartik. What to speak of when we go to the very places where these pastimes have occurred and hear those leelas in those places of pastimes. So the Damodar Leela, it's so attractive. There's so many wonderful spiritual potencies within this Leela that our Gaudiya Vaishnavas celebrate it all month long and never become tired of hearing and describing and relishing the spiritual potencies of this pastime. Because there's many wonderful exchanges that take place. First, starting with Mother Jasoda and her wanting to please Krishna. So there's Mother Jasoda, who she is the queen of the king of the cowherds. Nanda Maharaj has 900,000 cows and countless numbers of calves. And she is sharing the wealth of Mother of Nanda Maharaj. And she knows exactly which grasses make which flavors of milk with which cows. So very expertly she gathers the grasses and feeds them with her own hand to the best of the cows. Forget there's two particular cows named in this Leela where she feeds those cows the very special grasses, knowing the flavor of milk. She doesn't need somebody else to do this. She's got so many maid servants. She's the queen, but she wants to serve Krishna with her own hand. And then after personally milking the cow, she could have somebody else make the butter and make the yogurt, but she wants to do herself because it's for Krishna. Because already Krishna, because he's learned to crawl, he's become naughty and goes crawling here and there and breaking into other families' storerooms and stealing their butter. So she wants to make sure, why is Krishna going anywhere else? Because we have the best. I'll personally make sure. There's no mistake. I'll personally. So she's, you've seen how these little paddles inside the pot, back and forth and back and forth with the rope tied around and a groove on the top, and swish, swish, swish. She's sitting in the chair, and as she's moving her hands back and forth, they're not just thinking of Krishna. She's spontaneously singing songs about Krishna. Because this is Braja. They're not well-educated persons that go read books and song books and memorize songs and sing standard songs. They learn Krishna's pastimes by singing and remembering Krishna by singing. So she's singing and singing spontaneously, very happily, Krishna's wonderful pastimes. And as she's moving her hands back and forth, the golden bangles on her wrist, they're like kartals. Ching, 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 ching. Singing songs of Krishna. Absorbed. Spontaneous love. Ecstatic emotion. Singing songs of Krishna. While Krishna is sleeping. Then Krishna awakens. And as soon as Krishna awakens, he's hungry. Nanda Maharaj later says, my dear friends, you think this child is something special, maybe a great yogi, maybe a demigod, maybe the personality of Godhead. Ha! This child is not elevated at all. We always understand elevated persons have control of their senses. This child, he has no control of his senses. He's always demanding eating. And when we feed him everything, he's still not enough, and he goes and steals. What elevated person steals? So as soon as Krishna wakes, he's hungry. So what does he know but Mother Jasoda? So he crawled over to Mother Jasoda, where she's ching, 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 singing songs of Krishna. And Krishna, little Krishna, looks up at Mother Jasoda, catches her eye. She smiles, keeps... So Krishna grabs a hold of the rope with one hand to stop her. Pay attention, I want something. And with the other hand, he pulls on her sari. So Mother Jasoda knows what that means. Krishna's hungry. He wants her to stop what she's doing and feed him. So she puts down the rope and puts Krishna on her lap. And again, such a nice description. She has Krishna with his legs on either side of her waist, and Krishna leaning up against her arms and looking at his beautiful face with his little locks of hair and his lotus-like eyes and his beautiful smile and Shyama complexion, and so beautiful. Just gazing at the form, imagine the maternal affection of Mother Jasoda, just gazing at the form of the personality of Godhead as her son. We see pictures that are so charming. This is Mother Jasoda looking at Krishna's face. And Krishna smiles. Mother Jasoda smiles. And seeing Mother Jasoda smile, Krishna becomes radiantly happy. Mother Jasoda sees that and she becomes more happy. Finally, she prepares herself to feed Krishna. So during this lila, Vishvanath Chakravarti, we hear him again and again giving such wonderful insights into Krishna's lila. Vishvanath Chakravarti Thakur says that in the spiritual world, everything is conscious. We don't find that in this world. Matter is not conscious. But in the spiritual world, everything is conscious. So Mother Jasoda, along with churning some of the butter, has pumped some of the yogurt into butter, has some milk on the stove to make another preparation for Krishna, because she's Mother Jasoda. She wants Krishna to have all nice products. So just at that time, the milk started to boil over. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, the milk, being conscious of the mood of Krishna, decided now is time to boil over. That's what he described. So now Mother Jasoda had a dilemma. The dilemma was two services to be done at the same time. One, Krishna is hungry. The other, the milk is on the stove boiling over. What to do? Have you ever had the situation in your devotional service where there's two things, at least, that are demanding simultaneous attention? What to do? Acharya's comment that she's on the platform of spontaneous devotional service, but she drew upon her rational faculty and considered in the following way. If the milk boils over, it will be spoiled. Krishna will be here and I can come again and feed Krishna, so I should go and attend to the milk boiling over on the stove. So is it appropriate to draw upon our rational faculty in the service to Krishna? The answer is yes. Mother Jasoda is our acharya, setting the example. Deductively, she concluded, I should go and rescue the milk. So she set Krishna down. and went to rescue the milk, boiling over on the stove. But that's not what Krishna wanted. At least in the Leela, what he wanted was Mother Yashoda feed him. Now. You know how children can be. It's not later. It's now. Now. Not later. Now. So he became angry. And he took a stone and threw the stone and broke the pot of yogurt that Mother Yashoda was churning. And in anger, this is transcendental, not angry like we become angry. He was angry and he left. And he went to the storeroom to get butter and yogurt that he wanted. So now Mother Yashoda came back from the stove and she saw Krishna wasn't there. There's a stone by the yogurt pot and the pot is broken. Deductively, Mother Yashoda reasoned, this must have been Krishna. She didn't see it happen. It wasn't by pratyaksha, by direct sensory experience, but by deduction, she concluded, it must be Krishna. Because Krishna had done such things, he's very naughty. We can use our faculty of reason in service to Krishna. We certainly want our faculty of reason to be confirmed with scriptural statements when appropriate. In circumstances like this, we have some practical service to do. And so off she went looking for Krishna. It was very easy to find Krishna because his little feet made marks of yogurt everywhere he had stepped, because he had made a big mess of yogurt all over the floor, and his feet were carrying those yogurt marks, and she followed, heading for the direction of the storeroom where the milk and yogurt was kept. So again she concluded, he must be raiding the milk products again. So when she saw Krishna, he looked at her with wide eyes and was startled. And he jumped up and ran in fear of Mother Yashoda. And Mother Yashoda, seeing Krishna run, she ran after Krishna and she picked up a stick. And as Krishna saw Yashoda running after him, he ran as fast as his little legs could go. But Mother Yashoda caught him from behind. And instead of seeing Krishna sitting in front of her with his beautiful face, Krishna began crying. We know from the Damodar Leela song, tears were streaming from his eyes. And the black cudgel marks around his eyes were streaming down his cheeks, looking at Mother Yashoda. And she could understand that he was afraid of the stick in her hand. So she threw away the stick. She certainly had no intention of using the stick, but even the sight of the stick was fearful. Which in this Leela is in itself amazing. Queen Kunti, in her prayers, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, marvels at this. He who was feared by fear personified became afraid of a stick in Mother Yashoda's hand. I was watching over there, one mother was disciplining her child and holding her finger in the air like it was a stick. Not a stick, just her finger. Going like this, don't do that. Then a longer stick. If Acharyas explain, if Krishna was please try to appreciate how Krishna Leela works. It's not that Krishna was play acting, like we might have a part in a play, and our part is we're Krishna running from Mother Jasoda, and Mother Jasoda comes with a stick, and now we're supposed to cry because that's what our part is. Then we cry. That's play acting. But Queen Kunti is marveling. It's not that she was play acting. She was actually afraid. Krishna was actually afraid of the stick in Mother Jasoda's hand. He who was feared by feared personified became afraid of the stick in Mother Jasoda's hand. That's bewildering. He's the supreme powerful. What does that mean? It means that Krishna is experiencing, through the love of his devotees, he's experiencing transcendental happiness, one of which is the rasa of fear. The personality of Godhead. He's not afraid of Kamsa. He's not afraid of Jarasandha. He's not afraid of demons. He's afraid of Mother Jasoda's stick. What does that mean? It means he's controlled by love. When approached in animosity, Krishna responds. You would like to act towards me as the enemy? Then, very well. Because you like, I will be like. And you want to approach me as a friend, then I'll be your friend. You like to approach me as in pure love, as mother, then I'll be your son. And I'll feel the emotions of a son towards mother. So by yoga maya, Krishna would move. Sometimes, as he did here at Brahmandagat, exhibiting his divinity. And sometimes in the Damodar Leela, exhibiting the mood of a dependent child, afraid of the stick in his mother's hand. To Queen Kunti, so here's the conflict of emotion. Queen Kunti also had Vatsalya Rasa, yes? She was the aunt of Krishna. So not his mother, but of the same age, the same emotion. Confirmed. So her emotion was seeing Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead. Mother Jasoda's mood was not to see Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead, but as her beloved son. So she didn't have that awe and reverence as Queen Kunti did. Queen Kunti said, Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, and he's seeing a stick in Mother Jasoda's hand, and he's afraid? How is that? It was bewildering to Mother Jasoda, to Queen Kunti. So Mother Jasoda threw the stick away. And instead, she was holding Krishna by the arm. Now, think, Trinavarta, Putana, you know, Krishna could, he's so powerful, even a small child, but Mother Jasoda, he couldn't get free from Mother Jasoda's grip. Please understand. It's Leela. It's reciprocating love. So she's holding his arm, thinking, this is my son. And as my son, it's my duty as mother to discipline him, because if I don't discipline him, what's going to happen? He grows up and he'll be, who knows what he'll be. So it's my duty while he's in this child stage of life to teach him to be good. And he's being so bad. So I have to discipline him. So the discipline was taking rope and tying, as was the practice, to tie Krishna around the waist with rope. And as she was attempting to tie Krishna with rope, we know what happened. The rope was 2 inches too short. So she got some more rope. Deductively, put two ropes together, then I can tie Krishna. And that rope is too short by the same 2 inches. And more rope, and more rope, and more rope. Rupa Goswami describes in Lalita Madhava that she went to all the storerooms and all the storehouses of all Vraja and got all the rope. And how much rope is that for cowherds? She tied it all together and it was still 2 inches too short. What's the meaning? The gopis, the elder gopis, they were watching Mother Jasoda doing this and they said, "Don't you understand? It's not meant to happen. Why, just this morning, you tied that little string around Krishna's waist with a little ring on that string and it went around his waist very easily. But now, so much rope and it's not going around his waist. Why are you doing this?" Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives in his commentary that there were, because Krishna didn't want to be bound, he then exhibited two of his potencies. See if I can remember. His Aishvarya Shakti. His Aishvarya Shakti is his opulence of, his potency of transcendental opulence. And that's described that within the abdomen of the personality of Godhead, just as is shown in this Brahmanda Leela, the whole universe is inside Krishna's body. So what rope can go around the whole universe? If Krishna wants to show that feature of himself, no rope can go around. So his Aishvarya Shakti and his Sva Sankalpa Shakti was the other. His wish will dominate over anything. Sankalpa. His determination. I want to... So we may have some wish that something will become a certain way and it doesn't happen because we don't have transcendental potency like Krishna. So because of those two potencies, it was not possible. So the elder gopis were saying, "Don't you understand? It's not meant to happen. Just give this up." But Mother Jasoda was so much moved by parental affection. "No, I must. Even if it's impossible, still I must. I must at least endeavor." And so, seeing those two components of Mother Jasoda's Krishna consciousness, her prayasa, her endeavor was being made as she was trying to bind Krishna. But because the endeavor was being made in pure love, then Krishna exhibited his kripa shakti. And by his divine mercy, he then allowed Mother Jasoda to bind him. And this is one of the most glorious parts of this leela. Yes, Krishna is bound by the love of his devotee. Literally, in this case. In a general way, Krishna is bound by the love of his devotee. He doesn't have to be anything. Certainly doesn't have to be bound, but voluntarily he submits himself. And that's Krishna's kripa. His kripa shakti. He allows himself to be bound by the love of his devotee. And this is a very important practical lesson in our devotional life. We're all endeavoring for something, without exception. We'd be dead if we weren't endeavoring for something. As long as there's life in the body, we're endeavoring for something. So that endeavor, when in relation to Krishna, is that Krishna should be pleased. And when we endeavor to be, that Krishna should be pleased, sometimes we hear devotees say, "Why is Krishna restricting? Why isn't Krishna making this thing happen?" You know, like blaming Krishna. He's not doing his part. I'm doing my part, but Krishna's not doing his part. But it's not like that. Krishna, like with Mother Yashoda, may be wanting to intensify and exclusively giving shelter to that endeavor to try to please Him. And when Krishna is satisfied, and only when Krishna is satisfied, then His mercy is there. I mean, His mercy is received by us. And then that which we're prayasa, making some endeavor, Krishna lets it happen. So that when those situations arise, we know that it's Krishna making it happen. We know that it's, and that's the happiness. It's not the fruitive mentality is when we get what we want. But that's not happiness. We know that that's not happiness, even when we get what we want. But when there's the we know that it's the reciprocation with Krishna, that's real happiness. And so, Krishna is bound to the grinding mortar by the love of Mother Yashoda in the form of these ropes. Then, Krishna considers, Shukadeva Goswami discloses, he considers, my dear devotee, Narada, has spoken something that I should then make, I should uphold, because Krishna upholds the words of his devotees, yes? And Narada said to Nalakuvra and Manigriva that you will be delivered. So, since Narada said that they were to be delivered by me, now I must serve my devotee. I must uphold the word of my devotee. There are these two Arjun trees. Let me knock them over. Little boy. Dinabandhu was explaining when we went there last time that there's something very specific about Arjun trees that's a hardwood tree. Now I didn't know this until he shared this, but hardwood means it's not like, you know, some light thing. The roots are very deep and the wood is very hard. To knock over an Arjun tree is there's something very specific about it. Two of them. So he moved in such a way that the grinding mortar wedged itself between the two Arjun trees and pitter-pattering along. Both trees uprooted. Little boy. Caught between the two trees, the grinding mortar knocked the trees over. And from out of the trees came these two effulgent personalities, the two sons of Kuvera. Now, by the grace of Narada, restricted, this is the whole other part of the pastime, the offense that had been made to Narada and his contemplation of that offense. But what he wanted was not to punish Nalakuvara and Manigriva, he wanted to give them pure bhakti. But sometimes to give such persons pure bhakti, they need some restriction. Just discussing this with another devotee a half hour ago. Sometimes an individual needs to be restricted. Because, like Nalakuvara and Manigriva, what they were doing was harmful to themselves. So some restriction was imposed. Very intense and strict restriction. Stand naked as trees for thousands of years. Very intense. But what was the purpose of that restriction? To bring down their pride. And once their pride was gone, then in touch with the personality of Godhead, they not only became freed from pride, but they became great devotees. That's what Narada wanted to deliver to Nalakuvara and Manigriva. Pure devotional service. So they offered their prayers to Krishna, circumambulated Krishna, and with Krishna's blessings they returned to their position as sons of Kuvera in the heavenly realm as pure devotees, because their continuation of their life as sons of such a great demigod had not been completed. twin Arjun trees fell to the ground with such noise, Nanda and Jasoda ran from inside the house to find out what had happened. Oh no, Krishna's in danger. So one more calamity upon the other calamities brought Nanda and Jasoda to the conclusion, we have to leave Gokul and go back on the other side of the Jamuna River. Maybe it'll, the auspiciousness will be different there. Somehow Lord Narayan has saved our dear son Krishna. These two Arjun trees fell over somehow, and Krishna was saved somehow by the grace of Lord Narayan. We're so fortunate to have the mercy of Lord Narayan. So we'll visit that very place. Of course, Krishna's delivering of Nalakuvara and Manigriva indicates how Krishna will, in this case through his devotee Narada, relieve the heart of his devotee from this very, very insidious condition of pride. And pride is so easy to fall prey to. It immediately follows a material conception of life. As long as we have a material conception of life, then we'll think whatever it is that we have is ours. The I conception is followed by the mine conception, where we think is mine, I'm proud of because it's mine. Prabhupada described this when he was a young boy. His father took him by train from Calcutta to Puri to attend the Puri Rath Yatra. And you know how it is in trains in India. At certain places you get down from the train because there's this long stop. So his father and Abai got off the train. And he saw on the platform of the train one man and his wife who were poor people. They had a burlap cloth. And they were moving from one side of the burlap cloth some discarded pieces of wood. They were like counting their gold coins. How many pieces of wood they had, and wrapping it up very carefully. And Prabhupada said, although I was just a small boy, from that experience I could understand, even a pauper is proud of his penny. How easy it is to be proud of nothing. And whatever we think is something, what is that something? For one thing, it's not ours. And for another thing, it's all temporary. That something that's really substantial doesn't end with the body. We should become attached to that which is eternal. And that's why we're here in Vrindavan, to become more deeply attached to Krishna. Here at Brahmandagat, a later pastime, still here in Gokul, took place, where, as you see on either side of the altar, there is a picture on one side of the cowherd boys headed by Balaram. They're pointing with their finger. They're pointing at Krishna. Krishna has eaten dirt. And Mother Jasoda on the other side is standing over Krishna. And Krishna is saying, Mother Jasoda, they're lying. I've not eaten dirt. And Mother Jasoda says, why would they lie to say that you've eaten dirt? Well, we were playing and they lost. So they're just jealous and they're trying to get me in trouble. I've not eaten dirt. I tell you for sure, it's not true. I've not eaten dirt. But because of her motherly affection, she wanted to be sure, because Krishna sometimes doesn't always tell the truth. She's found. There is yogurt all over his hands and all over his face. And she says, Krishna, why are you stealing? And he'll deny. I'm not stealing. I'm not eating yogurt. Why do you say that? Because there's yogurt all over your hands and all over your mouth, all over your face. said, oh, one of the monkeys came inside and made a big mess and I was just cleaning it up. And I'm not eating yogurt. Mother Jasoda, why you accuse me like this? And because of his sweet smile, she forgets everything and picks Krishna up and embraces him with great affection. So, seeing the situation, Mother Jasoda then said, very well, using her rational faculties once again, if you've not eaten dirt, then you let me see inside your mouth. Now, one commentary says Krishna had eaten dirt. And he was in great anxiety. If Mother Jasoda looks inside my mouth and sees the dirt that I've eaten, then I'll be in big trouble, more than just from eating dirt. So he decided to hide the fact that he had eaten dirt and show, in fact, the whole universe so she wouldn't even take special notice of the dirt in his mouth. So she looked inside his mouth and saw, as you know, the whole cosmic manifestation, all the stars and planets and trees and rivers and mountains and demigods and birds and rivers and the whole of existence inside the body of Krishna. She even saw herself, Mother Jasoda, looking inside the mouth of Krishna, inside Krishna's mouth. Because Mother Jasoda has this innocence and purity of love, she thought, I must be getting very sick and dizzy. I better lie down. What's happening? I'm seeing things. She couldn't accept what it was that she was seeing. So very quickly, understanding the mood of his mother, Krishna again covered her by his yogamaya potency, so that she would forget that or not appreciate or not become absorbed in the all-powerful nature of Krishna, and instead see him simply as her beloved child, depending upon her affection for his all happiness. So this pastime took place right here at Brahmandagat. And those of you that have seen the video or the film of Your Ever Well Wisher with Prabhupada going down a set of steps and taking bath, it's right here at Brahmandagat. 1972, 1973, there's just some very simple raw footage. The particular circumstances, Prabhupada's health was weak, it was cold, it wasn't Kartik month, but he was taking the devotees to this very place where we are right now and explaining the leela that we've just discussed. And Krishna is exhibiting his transcendental potency at the same time covering yogamaya potency over Mother Jasoda. She would not understand Krishna's the personality of Godhead. So the devotees, after hearing, went down to the Jamuna, took their bath, and Prabhupada was relishing so much their happiness bathing that you see he all of a sudden just stood up, put a gamsha on over his dhoti, took off his dhoti, and went right into the middle of the Jamuna. And like a lotus flower with Prabhupada as the corolla of the lotus, the devotees were offering water to Prabhupada, worshipping him with Ganges water. And Prabhupada dunked himself under the Jamuna, the cold river, and shook himself off, much to the happiness, just for the pleasure of his devotees, and he was enjoying their happiness also. Just so much like Krishna being at the center of all of his devotees and bringing happiness to his devotees. Prabhupada's loving exchanges with the devotees was like that also. So let us offer our prayers here at Brahmandagat to Krishna, and Mother Yashoda, how Krishna reciprocates in loving ways with his devotees, and let us try to appreciate that loving nature of Krishna and the pure affection of Mother Yashoda and the sporting ways of the cowherd boys, as they're also simply bringing happiness to Krishna. Let us in our lives somehow also be enabled to bring happiness to Krishna, serve him in a favorable way. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.